Today we share together in now the fifth message in my series of messages, What's a Christian to Wear All About, as we just shared in from Ephesians chapter 6, the armor of God. Well, I was having a conversation with a friend recently, and we together were reminiscing about the good old days. Have you ever done that? The good old days? And what I discovered from that conversation is that every generation has a period of time that they call the good old days. For some, the good old days were in the 1940s. Can I get an amen? Okay. For others, the good old days were in the 50s. How about an amen for the good old days of the 50s?
Amen.
Amen, yeah. For some, like myself, it was the 60s through the 80s, and I've heard myself say things like, there is no real president after Jimmy Carter. I happen to like the guy. I think he's done a lot for the world, for sure. Or, there's no decent music after the Kinks, the Ramones, the Grateful Dead, or Pink Floyd, or Bruce Springsteen, or Elton John. It's all just rubbish after that point, yes? But then I realized, some of you are having private conversations going on in the sanctuary. Then I realized that the generations that went before me, they would say, it all went downhill after VE Day. Or it all went downhill after Glenn Miller and his band stopped playing, or the Lawrence Welk show ended, and I remember the last Lawrence Welk show, or when Elvis died, or even after Reverend Barkow passed away. It all went downhill after that. And then I realized that no one generation's good old days are any better than anyone else's. We like to think that they are, don't we? Oh, yes. My generation, better than this generation, and so on and so forth. In fact, I think that my daughter, Brittany, will one day say in the year 2050, remember the good old days of 2010, yeah? And so here I was talking to my friend, and he said, I remember the good old days when we'd ride our bikes for hours all around town, and we never had to wear a bike helmet, yeah? We'd go everywhere, and no one wore a bike helmet. But there will come a day when no one will remember a time when bike helmets were not worn. And so our topic today is, you guessed it, helmets. Not just bike helmets, but a very special spiritual helmet called the helmet of salvation that St. Paul mentions here in Ephesians chapter 6. So join with me now in a prayer as we consecrate God's word to our heart and mind. God, we thank you for your word, how powerful it is, how it changes us, reshapes us, and makes us like yourself. We ask this morning, Lord, that we would be challenged, uplifted, that you would be with me, the servant of your people, that I might preach and share in humility and love, always remembering that this is your church, gracious Jesus, and it is your Spirit who leads us, and so we submit to your leadership today. Gracious Spirit, bring home your word in very real ways today, I pray and ask. Amen. When we think of helmets, I think that there are only two types, really. Those that are used for sports, as, yes, when you're riding your bike around, or playing football, or perhaps ice hockey. I mean, look what happens to boxers as the years go by. Do you remember Cassius Clay? Let me see a show of hands. How many of you remember Cassius Clay? Thank you. That's probably the majority of the congregation. Well, I do. And I remember when he was called by that name. You're going back into the 60s now. Do you remember how Cassius Clay, who became Muhammad Ali, could float like a butterfly and sting like a bee? Oh yeah, Muhammad, Muhammad, Muhammad Ali. Now the poor fella can hardly walk unassisted by two or three people holding him up. Makes you think about the blows and the pummels that the head sustains when one is in the boxing ring. The second reason helmets are worn is during military conflicts, and the Romans, for whom St. Paul was modeling the armor of God, they saw plenty of wars and battles. Or, such as we saw in Ferguson, Missouri, when urban warfare broke out in the streets, and we saw police officers dressed in their riot gear, and they were wearing their helmets. As we refer back to the armor of God, we remember the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith, and now the helmet of salvation. Well, I remember when I was training for the ministry, I was asked to befriend a gentleman who was an ordained Baptist minister, and his name was Lloyd. I had seen Lloyd several times around the facility where I was a staff chaplain, and he seemed, you know, at first glance, just fine. But when I visited with Lloyd, I learned that several years back in his life, Lloyd suffered a severe brain injury, which left him with parts of his personality intact, but not others. For Lloyd, there was no real point in trying to remember the good old days, because for him, there were just too many gaps that were in his past. There was a series of events in his life, but there was nothing to connect the events together in a meaningful and whole way. Don't take that for granted, my friends, that ability to connect your memories together. Sometimes, while the snapshot of an event could be recalled by Lloyd, the why of that event and his participation in it, well, he couldn't figure that part out for the life of him. For Lloyd, the safest place was always in the present. Now, the rationale behind wearing a helmet, whether you're riding a bike or you're a police officer facing off against protesters, is to protect what's in here. That's what we're trying to protect. I remember when we lived in England and I was driving my white 1998 Nissan Primera from Billingham, where one of my churches was located, and I was driving along Wolverston Road towards the village of Wolverston to make a pastoral call. Now, between Billingham and the village of Wolverston, there is this open stretch of Wolverston Road. And as I was driving along, a motorcycle passed me on the right, because that's the passing lane in Great Britain. You want to pass somebody, you pass them on the right. And he passed me at this incredible speed. I mean, he was a blur just going by, possibly 100 miles per hour or more. And what I knew was that directly ahead was the A689 Stockton Road roundabout. And by the time I reached that roundabout, my worries were confirmed. The motorcyclist, there was just no way that he could negotiate that roundabout coming into it at that speed, and there I found him wiped out. His bike turned over right there, lying in the grass in the middle of that roundabout. And he was dazed and he was confused. He was alive, I believe, because he was wearing his helmet, which is mandated by law all throughout Great Britain. You can't ride a motorcycle unless you're wearing a helmet there. And so I got out of my car and I ran over there and I helped to pick him up, and he was dazed and confused, and I asked him questions just to try to figure out if he had a concussion. I asked him his name, I asked him where he was coming from and where he was going to, just to see if he could remember all the important stuff that's kept up here. And after a little bit of studying and an offer by myself to call an ambulance for him, which he declined, he dusted himself off and he got back on his motorcycle and zoom, he was away. He was gone again. Now, when one is hospitalized, a similar set of questions are often repeatedly asked. Can you tell me your name? Right? The nurse comes in. Can you tell me your name? And oftentimes this is to confirm just that the nurse has not only got the right patient, but that the right medication is going with the right patient. Do you know where you are? Yes, I'm at Mercy Anderson Hospital, or I'm at Bethesda North, or I'm at St. Elizabeth's in Edgewood. Can you tell me why you are here? Yeah, I busted my hip, you know, I sprained my ankle, you know, the why. And so I would propose to you that our helmet of salvation is indispensable for living an effective, if not real, spiritual life. God wants us to be able to connect the events of our spiritual journey together in a meaningful way. God doesn't want us to our lives to be a series of disconnected, random events that make no sense to us. And may I just add theologically that sin is the great interrupter of God's work through His Holy Spirit in our lives. And the more that sin interrupts, the harder it is to see the continuity of the flow of the Holy Spirit in your life. And so the helmet of salvation protects the knowledge of God within our lives. It protects the memory of what Christ has done for us in the past, on the cross, our salvation, and it keeps it intact, the power of the present moment where the Holy Spirit is at work. God wants us to be able to answer the questions of, do you really know where you are? Do you really know where you are? Yeah, I'm 16. I just got my permit. Others of you, do you know where you are? There can be no gap or fragmentary brokenness between our lives and His. Doesn't St. Paul attest elsewhere saying, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors. There's your military image again. Through Him who what? Loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor any powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Can you hear the continuity between God and ourselves? But do you know where you are? There is nothing worse than being lost. And there is nothing worse than being at the wrong place in the wrong time of your life. So my counsel, my admonition is, please, let's get ourselves in the right place for God at the right time. Do you know where you are? And friends, this question must be answered before we can answer the next question. One has to know where you are before knowing why you are here. So, do you know why you're here? You see, Jesus' salvation of our souls always reminds us who we are. We are His. He claims us. It reminds us where we are and why we are here. I'm not speaking geographically, of course, but of our spiritual cognition. That is, where are you in your life with the Lord? The helmet of salvation keeps that all in place. And then lastly, why are you here? You are not your own, Scripture declares, you were bought with a price, and that price is the death of Christ upon his cross. There's the act of salvation. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God in your bodies. Honor God in your mind. You are here. I am here to share the life of Christ with all whom we meet, be they in our families, our friends. We're to share that saving life of Christ with as many as we possibly can, be that by word, deed, personal sacrifice, quiet testimony, gentle gestures, or loud praises. The helmet of salvation preserves us. It keeps us. It protects us so that we can remember who we are. Are you remembering who you are in Christ Jesus today, my friends? I pray so. Why you are here, that's part of our spiritual journey and the spiritual battles that we all must have the courage to face. Amen.